Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Life. I am thrilled that you are here listening to this episode. I want to extend an invitation to you to check out my published journal called Serenity, Calm Your Soul and Strengthen Your Spirit for Your Time with the Lord. This personalized scripture journal allows you to write your name within the verse, providing you with a personal directive to take heed the truth in your life. This journal covers 5 topics to choose from with 2 weeks of scriptures for each one to help you through whatever season you are currently walking in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. Additionally, there's journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith in what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. So to purchase, simply click the link below in the show notes and it will take you to jamieelizabeth.com. You can order right there on my shop page. And while you're there, take the fun quiz to find out what type of journaler you are, or if you don't journal at all, learn about the benefits of journaling. And if you take the quiz, you will receive a discount plus free shipping, because who doesn't love a discount of free shipping? Okay, today I have back with me for the second time, Susie Larson. She is a best-selling author, speaker, and host of the popular radio show, Susie Larson Live. Susie has written over 25 books, including this devotional book called Waking Up to the Goodness of God. We talk about how so often we can easily feel the goodness of God when things are going well, but what happens when life throws you curveballs? And then how can we feel God's goodness in the midst of our struggle and pain? Her devotional is like this warm blanket for the soul to remind us of the God who loves and treasures us and is good no matter what we are facing. In this conversation, Susie shares her most painful moments and the lessons she's learned along the way to see God's love and care and goodness throughout her peaks and valleys. Susie is so full of wisdom, as you'll hear in this chat. I know it will bless you as it blessed me. So let's dive into my conversation with Susie Larson. Hello, Susie. Welcome to She Speaks Life. I should say, welcome back to She Speaks Life.
There you go. Good to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I have a hard time keeping up with you. You are just writing these books out, and now you have a devotional after you just released a book not too long ago. And so with this message, though, we are going to be talking about your devotional called Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. And as I, so graciously got this book, it's like a warm blanket for my soul. It really is a encouraging and inspiring book full of God's word. And it's just soothing and it's comforting to know that God is with us. He's for us. And he can restore and renew anything in our life. So I love that you give us that reminder in this devotional. And before we go into more on this topic of God's goodness, I love it when the guest shares their favorite scripture verse, because we can find out so much about them just with asking that one question. What is your favorite scripture verse and why?
First of all, there's so much there. I was praying and hoping that this book would be a healing balm to the soul. Yeah. So a warm blanket, that works too. So praise God. I'm just so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And on my daily live show every day, I ask, what's God been talking to you about these days? We're going to get to your book in a minute, but I want to know, what's God been talking to you about? So I love that you preface your shows with that question. So favorite verse is a hard one because I have so many passages that are go-to. I mean, I have a verse I'm going to share today that I feel like I was supposed to share today. But one of my go-to chapters is Psalm 18, because it talks about moving from victim to victor. There's just a progression there. If you watch it, just watch it unfold as you read it. So powerful. One of my life verses is Psalm 116:9. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I'm very passionate about cultivating just intimacy with God and walking intimately with him. But the verse, another one of my go-tos that I felt like I was supposed to bring today, is 1 John 4:16. And it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And that word know, the original translation, is likened to intercourse between a man and a woman, like such a knowing. You know, there's places in scripture where you see the husband, he knew his wife, so to speak, where they had an encounter and an experience that made them one. It's on that level. So we know God experientially from an encounter personally that's impacted us deeply. And in knowing him that way, we learn to rely on the love he has for us. And so I looked it up in the Amplified and just listen to this. We have come to know by personal observation and experience. And I love that, because one of the things I'm asking in this book is to open the eyes of your heart. Ask God to do that so you can start to see who he is. His handiwork is everywhere. Daily, the heavens pour forth speech. He is speaking. He is moving. And we can see his fingerprints everywhere. So we've got to get our eyes off our symptoms or our struggles and onto the Savior, because he is moving in our midst. So by observation and then by experience, because the more that you seek after him, you draw near, he draws near. So this really implies our cooperation, our appropriating what God has offered. So I'll start again. We've come to know by personal observation and experience, and have believed with deep, consistent faith, the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in them. I just think that is so powerful, because, you know, often at events, Jamie, I'll ask women to say, you know, that I'm his treasure. He loves me, because it's not that we loved God. It's that he loved us first, right? He loved us first, and he keeps loving us first. So when I ask women to say that, you know, I'm your treasure, you love me, half of the women will stiffen up, like it's uncomfortable. But I'm like, you know, he loved us first. And if you feel stiff or resistance or even pride about basking in his love, you need to deal with that, because his love is what undoes us. His love is what heals us. And we're going to talk a little bit later about a soul care conference that I just came back from. And Dr. Rob Reamer is a regular guest on my show. And he says, we have got to learn to live as deeply loved children of God. And I really think it's at the center of everything. And I noticed for me, my spiritual disciplines, which are really important to me, because I am serious about my walk with God, they, when they become ought to's and should do's and not a get to, you know, when fasting, journaling, praying, reading scripture, getting up in the morning, if it ever feels like a drudgery, ever feels like an obligation, it's always because I've lost sight of the love of God. Somehow I've taken the responsibility on myself to manage this relationship rather than living in response to the one who loves me. So I hope that encourages someone today.
Ooh, I love it. It just changes the whole perspective when we look at how much God loves us and how he sees us. I'm preparing a message for our church on victory, and God just reminded me on this walk, because oftentimes he gives me these images while I'm walking or moving my body, and he gave me this image of me watching my kids play football or play a sport, and how we as parents see our kids as victorious no matter how well they play, no matter if there was a win for that game, but that we see our child when they play in a sport game or whatever, you know, it is for you. It could be dance with your daughter. You just get this feeling like, gosh, I see them as victorious as they are, right? A child of God. And that's how he sees us. That's how, you know, he just delights in us, and he sees us victorious already. And I think that's a hard one for us to grasp too, that we are, you know, more than conquerors, that scripture says, and that we are victorious. We are loved by God. And I think when that shift that perspective of looking at, you know, because we're constantly, I love God. What can I do for God? You know, diving in and having intimacy with God. But God wants to be intimate with you. He's just sitting there waiting for you to come sit on the couch next to him, right? Yep, he's waiting for you, because he delights in you and wants and desires that closeness with you.
You will wear out. Oh, sorry about that. I was going to say, you will wear out. It's not sustainable if you think your hold on him is stronger than his hold on you. You'll become a legalist or you'll become, someone who despairs and wants to give up. And so we've got to know. One of my guests said about 10, 12 years ago, the kingdom of God is not an achieving life. It's a receiving life. And somehow, some way, we've got to live in that receptivity of what he's speaking, what he's saying, what he's doing, how he's moving. And move in tandem with him. And, you know, I just feel like I need to say this for someone listening today. I loved your analogy of looking at our kids and going, they're already winners because I love them so much that how they play does not matter to me. There was a time when one of our sons was just in school taking like an after school, like karate class or something like that. And he had so much passion and he was a little strong-willed stinker when he was little. But at this point, he just had this like, wanted to do right so bad. I mean, and he was in line and the guy was kind of, you know, like working individually with the kids and he was in line and there's a couple of boys ahead of him that were wrestling and punching each other and acting up. And I was watching, he was trying so hard to do the right thing. And then they started to run out of line and they'd throw themselves up against this mat on the wall and fall down and laugh. And then the next one would do it. And they over and over did it. And he'd kind of yell at him, but he'd kind of be focusing on the kid. And then they started to tell Luke, you should do it. You should do it. And he's like, no. And they're like, what are you, sissy? And they were just taunting him and the coach wasn't paying attention. So Luke did it. He ran and threw himself against the wall, fell down. And that's when the guy had had enough and stood up and made it just an example out of Luke, yelled at him, embarrassed him, shamed him, humiliated in front of him. And Luke's little cheeks got red because he was just a passionate, sensitive kid. And I felt the love of the father for him. I brought him into the car and I said, you know, first and foremost, I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole thing, honey, and I see what happened there. And you're always responsible for your piece, but let's just talk about that. We talked about the fear of man. We talked about, you know, trusting God and just a lot. And it was just this really awesome moment. And I just feel like someone needs to hear today. Maybe you're thinking of that, you know, but I blew it. I fell down. I did it wrong. I got caught, whatever. God sees the whole story. And you can't imagine the compassion in his heart. And it's not that he looks lightly on sin, but he sees the whole story. And you probably don't even know how much the enemy has set you up to fail and to fall. But God knows. He knows the whole story. And his compassions never fail. And someone maybe needed to hear that today.
Yeah, I love that. That's such an inspiring story. And I love backing it up when you said it's not achieving the kingdom, it's receiving the kingdom because it's already ours. And I think that's something we need to remind ourselves that we have an inheritance already. You know, God's word is ours. Everything that's in it, all the blessings. I mean, you know, Deuteronomy 28 talks about all the blessings we will receive as we, you know, walk in his obedience, right? And so there's rewards for that. And so, but you know, everything in the word is our inheritance. Our kingdom is our, we just need to receive it. It's like, it's there. You just need to take a hold of it and understand and believe in it. And so you had talked about living much of your life bracing impact. I think maybe we should start there of, you know, why you started writing this book. Is that something that maybe was the first step for you to write about God's goodness because you're living in that kind of season of bracing for impact constantly?
So, you know, for those who maybe didn't hear the past conversation we had, just to give you a quick synopsis, I had some trauma as a child at the hands of teenage boys, sexual trauma. And then another time I was walking home from school and was jumped and beaten real bad by a group of boys. And I was just like 4 feet tall. They literally punched me in the face, pulled fistfuls of hair, knocked me to the ground, kicked me in the stomach. It was a pummeling. I was really, it was bad. And when I got up, I heard in my ear, I can get to you anytime, anywhere, and God will never stop me. And so at that, in that young age, our family was part of a denomination where I would say, I knew God was real, but I didn't know Jesus was accessible. The gospel wasn't preached, but I knew God was real. I sensed his presence as a child, but then the trauma happened. And then I knew the devil was real. And I came to Christ in about eighth grade and loved him so much. And I would say at that point for the next good handful of years, I knew I was saved, but I didn't know I was loved. And Jamie, as I've spoken all over the country, you know, I believe this is true for many Christians, even seasoned Christians, even elders on elder boards. I think many, many, many Christians know they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And I'm telling you, that love changes everything. So you jump ahead. I had three sons, our bed rest for two of them. One, I was on bed rest for 3 months with our second son, 6 months for our third son, and with a 1 and a 3-year-old, which is, you know, it was a tough, tough time. And I was serving on 5 committees at church before the bed rest, because again, I knew I was saved, but I didn't know I was loved. So I always say, if you don't know who you are, you're going to misuse your time, treasure, and talents to prove something that Jesus has already proven, right? So that's what I was doing. So going to bed just confronted all of my insecurities, like all my stuff surfaced because I couldn't strive. I couldn't perform. And all of that stuff I was kind of forced to face off with. And God was so gracious. However, I'll just say 6 months into the pregnancy of pregnancy number three, 3 months into bed rest, my doctors let me get up. I met my old college roommates, went for a walk. It was a fall day, went back to bed that night. And 2 weeks out of that, away from that time, my face started to go numb. And so I still had 3 months to go with a lot of neuro symptoms flaring in my body, not knowing what in the world was going on. And I felt like God lost my address because I went from bed rest to overlapping crisis. And we had a woman in our church who had severe MS, and that was the threat, you know, like he's lost your address. This is how it's going to be for you. And terror and fear and uncertainty and doubt and wondering why my friends had health and wealth and I had neither was really tough. So delivered our son a year later. My health was up and down a year later, as you know, found out I was bit by the deer tick my one day off of bed rest and contracted Lyme disease. And again, I heard in my ear, I can get to you anytime, anywhere. God will never stop me. And so it was the first, I don't know, 5-7 years was pretty brutal battle with a Lyme. And then for about 20 years, I found a way to work around it. I mean, it affected me all the time, but I was a fighter and I used to teach fitness classes. So I got certified, a national certification. I'm like, I'm going to teach classes. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to be known as a person who's sick. However, 4 times a year, maybe sometimes 5, my face would start to go numb and all of a sudden I'd get blindsided by symptoms and I'd be back in bed. Couldn't get out of bed for a few days, but felt really crummy usually for a few weeks. And then I'd come up swinging again. So it's just sort of like that for about 20 years. And people knew I had a kind of a chronic condition, so I would get tired and things, but I still managed. And then about 8 years ago, I had a relapse that was devastating. And at first they're like, this is Lyme. And then they're like, no, it's not. And there was a lot of terror around it because the symptoms were so terrifying. And apparently people with chronic Lyme can't process mold. So I'd had unknowingly been exposed to black mold, which attacked my brain. Now I'm a live talk radio host. So when you're on live, you've got to be able to get your words. And I couldn't retrieve the words I needed. I was putting wrong words in my sentences. I was writing a book and I forgot how to spell very basic words. I knew I was losing cognitive function. It was terrifying. And sometimes at night, my neck would numb and my jaw would numb and felt like there was a gun to my head. Like I was always on the verge of a stroke or something. And I down here in the family room, I would pace so I wouldn't wake up my husband and say, God, if you either got to heal me or kill me, because I don't have the mental bandwidth. I mean, it was hard. It was a horrific battle, just be honest. Wow. And I was bracing for impact because of the unpredictability of this disease. I mean, it was like, I didn't know when the next surge was coming and it was constantly nipping. Like there was a new level of pressure in my head. And I mean, so it was scary, but a friend confronted me lovingly and said, Susie, it seems like you are living bracing for impact. And, but she said it with so much compassion that it's like faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what I mean? There was so much compassion in her heart, not a hint of judgment that I knew there was more to it. I thought that my kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop was just sort of a logical reaction to an unpredictable disease, but it quickened in me. Like she said something that got in me. And so I went and sat with the Lord. Is there more to this? I want to say this was two, three years ago. I don't know. And he showed me my heart that I was hurt by him and I was disappointed in him and it broke my heart. I mean, I just could weep upon it now because I love him. You know, I mean, I was still getting up every morning and enjoying time with him. And I was very passionate about stewarding his word on the air every day. But deep in the basement of my soul, I was so hurt. I'm like, at this age, really, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I know you're a public person, so you probably get lots of opinions from people, but you know, I got an email a few years ago of a leader at your level and you're still not healed. Like, where's your faith? Mm-hmm. And you know, people are so full of opinions about why you can't always name it and claim it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe in the miracle working God. My son was miraculously healed from a back injury, medical miracle. I know God does that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a miracle, but I'm no less of a miracle. But I will just tell you that in that space, I had some things to work out with God. Mm-hmm. And he started to show me that because of the terror of some of these symptoms, that's where my eyes were going. And when your eyes are on the struggle, on the symptom, on the trial, you literally do not see goodness when it comes. And the enemy is always building a case against God and against you, always. Mm-hmm. And so my book that came out before this is like you talked about how fast they came out. This was meant to be a springboard of Closer Than Your Next Breath, was really to help you want to cultivate presence with God, to really believe that he's a God you want to be near. And this is a springboard of that, going, I want you to believe that he's good. I'm making a case for the goodness. And what changed with me is I started to go, show me your handiwork. And everywhere I turned, Jamie, I was like, wow, there are so many blessings in my path that I completely missed because I was locked elbows, because you can't at once receive all God wants to give while you're trying to protect yourself, you know, from what you think he's going to do to you. And it's like, the more that I started to look at even the blessings in my life as gifts with gift tags to Susie from God, like very personal, this, I know you, I know what you love. Mm-hmm. And this is why I gave you this gift. All of a sudden I realized I am tethered to a good God. And suddenly I start to see more and more of his goodness. And I work hard at getting healed. I do. I mean, I cooperate. My doctors all say, I don't know anybody who wants to be well more than you. Cause I'm like, you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And I really do attribute how far I've come to all the things that God has, you know, he's provided healing through amazing doctors, really good labs and supplements, my sauna, my exercise, my claiming of scripture, the ministry of my soul that people, you know, prayer people have prayed over me, is because there's been trauma, you know, post-traumatic stress in some ways. And I've had people minister to that. So there, he's so good to bring all these pieces together. But I will tell you, nothing changed me from the inside out like this, like taking the leap of faith to believe that he is so much better than I thought. And it was testified in my hubby as I was just applying myself. I really wasn't thinking it was going to be a book. I was just thinking, I want to know you for who you are. And I don't want to accuse you of anything you're not guilty of. I mean, I just need a reset in my soul. So I was just applying myself to that. And my husband said, your eyes look different. He's like, you're carrying yourself different. And it was true, because you got to know that when you, I want just to think about this, when you maybe are mad at someone and you speak it out, whether you speak it to them or not, you feel the toxins in your soul, because there's a physiological and neurological reaction to your thoughts and your words. So if you get mad at someone in traffic and you give vent to anger, it causes a hormonal, chemical, neurological reaction in your body. So if you're living constantly waiting for the next shoe to drop, that does put you in an inflammatory state, and it does weaken your immune system, not to mention what it does for your brain, your neurology. And again, not to mention your faith perspective. And as a former fitness person, and again, I'm surrounded, we are in a life group with a good handful of doctors. If I weren't in radio and writing, I probably would have gone in healthcare, because I love the human body. I'm so fascinated by the human body. You know, I joke that I'm a neuroscience, you know, expert, because I've read a few things and I've lived a lot. Yeah. However, I just got to say, I'm so fascinated by the implications of where we land in our beliefs and our words and our prayers and the perspective we choose and where your thoughts go and where your words go when it comes to God. They really say everything about the quality of your life. And so I just started to heal from the inside out, and suddenly realized when I was sharing it with friends, they're like, you got to write this down. So that's how the book was born. It was just my own gritty journey, and really as a seasoned believer who've been really battered by life. And wow, he's so good.
Yeah, so good. I mean, you cover so much in this devotional. It shows, you know, it's just out of your experience. And you just said so much there. And one of the things that popped in my mind is fear and faith can't coincide. They can't be there together. So you're either living in fear, like the shoe's going to drop at any moment, or you're living in faith. And, you know, our whole perspective of looking at God's goodness instead of the problem, like you said, is so crucial. And more as I'm getting older and growing in my own spiritual walk with the Lord, I'm realizing how important my thought life is, how important those thoughts are to be disciplined, right? We can so easily let them just go wild. And it's just so important to, you know, discipline them. A sound mind is a disciplined mind, and really submit them to God's word. And I love too that you asked God, show me your handprint, show me. And it just shows, like it says in John all the time, I think throughout John, ask and you shall receive, you know, you just need to ask. And so I love that reminder that whatever you're walking through, just ask him, he'll show up, he'll show you. And just like he did for you, and you just started seeing them everywhere, and that just totally shifts your whole perspective and reframes everything. And living lighter. That's why your eyes seem to be different, that your husband pointed out. And it's that's so good how that whole encounter experience just changed the trajectory. And not too long ago, you know, last few years, you said. So
yeah. Someone once said, if tomorrow you woke up with only that for which you thank God today, what would you have? And I think that's worth thinking about, because the enemy wants us to be grumblers. You know, that's one thing I think that makes God rob his temples like this when we become grumblers, because, you know, even the Israelites, they forgot about the goodness of God and thus became grumblers. And we have no basis. We have no right, honestly, when you think of as children of the living God, if you've been saved by the grace of Jesus, washed by the blood, you literally have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear son. Now you have immediate and continual access to the inner throne room of Almighty God. You got the promise of his presence. You got the promise of his promises. Scripture says all his promises are backed by the honor of his name. You have his commitment to guard, guide, and provide for you as you need it. And what's so amazing to me is that his mercies come to our door every morning before we've even had a chance to blow it, which should tell us he's very committed to getting us safely home. And I would challenge you to maybe look at, is it Psalm 145, 146, but it talks about, you know, let each generation tell of your mighty acts. Let them give specific examples of your power. May all of your works praise you. It's this implication that I'm talking about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm so engaged with God. I don't have a powerless Christianity. I've got a powerful Christianity, so I can tell people, give them examples of his mighty power. That is, he wants us in that kind of flow with him where we're walking so intimately that we see life spring up everywhere.
Yeah. And where his presence is, there's joy. And so if we're constantly in that flow, we're going to be constantly full of joy. We just won't get away from that. And I think the enemy likes to attack our joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if he can try to rob us from our joy, then we lose our strength, or we become weak, right? And that's where the enemy likes to set us up with, is, you know, somebody that's weak. And so I think that's a crucial thing to remember also. And I wanted to share some of the things that you had said, and I think this was in your book, but this correlates with your devotional of how we can confuse feeling good the same as feeling God's goodness. And I just love that, because sometimes we go off of our feelings and emotions. Well, I feel good, therefore I'm feeling God's goodness. And it's actually... well, I'm going to let you share this part.
It's such an important distinction, I think. And it's in the previous book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. And the subtitle is Where Is God When You Need Him Most? And I asked the question, is feeling good the same as feeling God? And it just feels like an important question to me. And yeah. I started with my preface saying, I will tell you, because I contend and contend to be symptom free in the land of the living. If I'm not, you know, I will get a new body in heaven, but I feel like I'm better for the fight when I'm engaging. So when I feel good, I will just tell you, I do feel God because I'm walking mm-hmm. intimately with him. And so I look at every moment where there's a burst of energy, where I have vitality to get through my day. That's I feel God because I know every good gift is from him. However, mm-hmm. if you're feeling good, you might not always be feeling God. Some people feel good because they're buzzed from drinking too much, or they're mm-hmm. feeling good because of an impulse shopping spree and they have a temporary relief from their circumstances. Mm-hmm. In this book, I talk about how devastating some of our coping mechanisms can be. So there mm-hmm. might be times where you're feeling so good, but God is not in it because he's not, you're out of rank. You're not on the path that he has for you. Right. How, I will also say that there are those who are far from God who are trying to numb all that pain and buy and drink and do everything. And there may be a day they're sitting on a dock and they see a sunset and some kind of life flickers within them. And that's mm-hmm. the spirit of God wooing them. Mm-hmm. And they feel good and they feel God. They may not identify it as such. And mm-hmm. so it's just super important for us to understand, because there's times when you're walking with the Lord mm-hmm. that he may ask you to do something that crosses your will and it doesn't feel good. You know, mm-hmm. I want you to, you know, trust me and leave this job. And, you know, he told Abraham, go where I tell you to go. He doesn't always give us the long game, right? He gives mm-hmm. us the next steps. Or yeah. I want you to die to your right to see them pay. I want you forgiveness. I want you to forgive them and trust me to deal with them. Well, that doesn't always mm-hmm. feel good. On the other side of obedience, joy does come. Life does spring up. Scripture says a mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I will say in some of the worst parts of this health battle, I didn't feel God. He was silent and it was so bizarre for me, because it was like in all these other areas of my life, I could hear his voice. I would pray and I would see answers. Mm-hmm. I'd pray for people and they get back to me. Wow, God answered that. Mm-hmm. But in my health, it was crickets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I'd done something, like, what, why are you not speaking to me? Do I take more supplements? Do I take less? You know, do I fast more? I mean, it was just mind-boggling to me. That did not feel good. But mm-hmm. that's when, I mean, in Closer Than Your Next Breath, I talk about the silent seasons. That's when the Lord had me writing that book in the silent seasons. And he just said, Susie, wow. write what you already know to be true about me. You have a history with me. You have a present with me and you have a future with me. So even when you don't feel me, what's true about me? And I'm like, you're right. You're right. And so I start to write down what I knew to be true. There are going to mm-hmm. be seasons that you walk through that are kind of like dark nights of the soul. That does not feel good. And that's mm-hmm. why you've got to be confident in God, that he still is good and he's up to something good. And these seasons come and go. And in the Closer book, I try to help you navigate those seasons so you don't lose your faith. You don't get offended with God. You mm-hmm. keep a holy confidence that you are deeply loved and he is with you. And soon the season will pass. And if you steward it a certain way, literally when you come through the season, you'll have a fresh revelation of his word and of his love. And sometimes he's just training us to wean us off of all of our feelings and emotions and our constant need for a sign. To mature, you kind of got to get past that sometimes mm-hmm. where you mm-hmm. go, I'm confident in his character. You know, I'm confident in who he says he is. So mm-hmm. hope that mm-hmm. makes sense. But I think it's super important. Otherwise, you're living by your feelings. You're going from event to event to event to feel good again so you can feel God. But mm-hmm. he is so much more majestic in that. He's in the nuances of your life and he's near, even when he doesn't seem so.
Yeah, so good. So true. What wisdom. And that your devotional, the outline, you've got prayer and then talking to God, devotional, and then these faith declarations and brain reframe, which I absolutely love. And then you have a further study that we can look up scripture verses on our own, which is great. This can be a companion to our Bible scripture reading in our quiet time. And I love the brain refrain and the faith declaration, and how, you know, for us to feel, you know, that God is good, I believe that speaking out these words, I like these declarations, because we know the enemy can't read our minds, but he can see physically what we do in what we say, right? And so when we are speaking out who we are, who God is, and these declarations, and literally having this brain refrain, for example, you saying this brain refrain, I believe for the best because God is ultimately in control. I mean, if we are constantly speaking out that truth on a daily basis, we can't help but, you know, just bubble up inside and feel God's goodness again, even though our circumstances hasn't changed one bit, or, you know, like you were saying, we're, you know, even if we're not feeling good, we can know that God is good because we are literally reminding ourselves, wiring our brain and, you know, confessing the truth back to us and God's promises. So I love how you had that whole setup in your devotional. Mm-hmm. And so as we wrap up, I would love for you to leave us with a takeaway, something that the listener can ponder on or take action in, maybe something you wanted to add that we didn't cover, mm-hmm. and then where people can get this devotional and connect with you and mm-hmm. hear your talk show, your faith network.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, the outline was very purposeful. The prayer that I open with, lots of times in books, you put prayer at the end of the chapter, but I've talked about the difference between praying above your circumstances and praying beneath. And God wants mm-hmm. you to talk to him however you're feeling. If you're lament, if you're confused, yes. Pray about everything. But I've noticed for me that when I'm praying in a striving, please, please, begging kind of thing, I never feel better after. But yeah. when I pray from above to say, God, mm-hmm. I know you're good. I know your promises are true. I know yes. you're going to make a way for me. So what I'm trying to do is get you to get above your circumstances to who God is, so you're in the right frame of mind. Then there's a short Devo and different topics like slay your inner critic, strategically accept and reject, all different kinds of topics that are just short. I hope they pack a punch. Mm-hmm. And then the brain retrain and then the faith declaration are really meant to for you to find even a few that speak to you. Like one of them has spoken to me because of, you know, chronic affliction that I've dealt with my whole adult life is this, the cross has spoken, the curse is broken. Jesus has set me free. I speak that over mm-hmm. my life all the time. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Jamie, you probably know this as well, but there were studies many years ago by scientists apart from faith that said the only thing that can interrupt rogue thoughts when you have runaway thoughts is the spoken word. So if your thoughts are, yes. let's say you're having conversations in your head mm-hmm. with the person that you're struggling with, or you're worrying or whatever, when your mind goes rogue into the ditch, you speak, that's the thing that T-bones that thing. That gets mm-hmm. you out of that ditch. And so, okay. you know, I qualify in the devotional that this is not name it, claim it, you know, but there is something to be said. I'm naming these promises, I'm claiming them. Yeah. But the point is, you don't dictate to God, he dictates to us, but he's given us his word and it's living, breathing and powerful. And mm-hmm. so I tried to make these faith declarations biblical and the brain retrain a statement that you can make over your life. And my takeaway for you is try it. Just try it. When you're in a flurry, when you're feeling insecure, inferior, left to the outside of the circle, find one of those. March around your house and speak it over your life. Yes. I know for me, I physiologically feel better when I'm in a position of faith rather than a posture of fear. I just do. Yeah. And that perfect love casts out fear. So as you just start mm-hmm. to immerse yourself in perfect love, in the reality of his goodness, things in you will start to heal. Because your body was literally wired for love. So when you're in love, literally your cells receive nourishment so much better. You retain information. It is absolutely a miracle how God has made us. And when we're in fear, even our cells close up on themselves. Our capacity to learn new things or retain old information diminishes. But when you get into that place where I'm safe in his care, mm-hmm. you would be amazed at what you're able to learn and retain and how well your body is nourished by the food you eat. We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm. So good. Amen to that. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, imparting that on us. And where can people connect with you and purchase your devotional?
So you can get book the Waking Up or Closer anywhere books are sold, Amazon. I will say that Baker Bookhouse, bakerbookhouse.com, is selling Waking Up with pretty decent discount. And as until supplies are out, there's a 10 pack of gorgeous quote cards. I don't know if your people have video. Can they see us?
Yes, on YouTube or Spotify.
They're these scenic, gorgeous quote cards.
Ooh, they are pretty.
A few more. They're so pretty. And they're quotes from the book. So there's a 10 pack. So every purchase gets a 10 pack of these cards until the supplies. They had like 5,000 packs. So bakerbookhouse.com if they want those beautiful cards. But then my show, I think the easiest way to find it is go where podcasts are played and type in Susie Larson Live, and then you can find your way to our network. But we're on a host of stations across the country. But once the live show is over, it goes to podcast. And we give away books every day. So eventually you'll want to find us on the app so you can live stream, because we love to give away books. So
awesome. Thank you, Susie. Yeah, I love those cards. You can just place them anywhere, on your mirror, in your car, Bible, anywhere.
They're so beautiful. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming back on here. You're so amazing. And I enjoy every time we can have a conversation together. So thank you, Susie. Yeah.
And keep up your great work too, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jayme.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.